Welcome back to the Big Kahuna Podcast. Not the Big Bahuna Podcast, as Byron just called it. So we're here with me, Conan Muldoon.
Myself, Byron Kenny.
And this week we've got Guy Ritchie. We're in the director's corner. Well, you're in the corner.
We're back. No, you're sitting in the corner.
You're right. Actually sitting in the corner.
Whatever.
So we're back with Guy Ritchie. We've got a jam-packed episode this week. We're going to talk about his style. We're going to get through his movies, some of our favourites. We're going to get to our movie of the week,
which is Green Book.
Green Book, which was decent. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that towards the latter stages of the show. But yeah, Guy Ritchie of Snatch, of Sherlock Holmes, of The Gentleman, of Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels, Rock and Roller, etc., etc., etc. So yeah, we're going to have a bit of fun with this one, aren't we, Byron?
We'll try to. So
Byron's in a bad mood today.
Yes,
Byron messed up his intro.
Alright, man, alright. So, Guy Ritchie's style.
Yeah.
How do you describe it?
Talk to me.
Fast-paced. Flashy cinematography.
Mm-hmm.
He always has the tunes.
He has great tunes, yeah.
But it's really fast, like, dialogue. And just, like, Cockney slang.
Yeah, yeah.
He just throws into everything. I think it's very unique.
It's very edited very quickly as well.
Yeah, he likes... But he does like to do, like... flash frames, he'll just still images, he'll just pause up on that, and he loves a gangster film.
Yeah, he's got it. It's formulaic, would you say?
It's his own like kind of style, but it's very like intricate story, and it's not very linear though, is it? It's kind of all over the place in a way.
Yeah, it's linear in a chronological sense, but it's not. It's got a motley crew of characters. There's always lots of stuff going on.
But you'd almost need like a name tag sometimes for the amount of characters he's got in there.
It's tough. I just watched Lock, Stock there recently, and
it's hard to follow the names.
It's hard to follow the names, but also it's hard for the story to materialize. Like, it takes a while for the story to materialize.
There's a big payoff
and I suppose that's why they are such great films. They're really well thought
out. I suppose that's why he gives the characters nicknames. You know, that kind of suit their persona.
Yeah.
And makes them more memorable, like, because you're not going to remember all the names.
Yeah. What do you think? It kind of takes away from the individuality of the character, though. That's the only thing I've noted from. I suppose we're starting off with maybe weak points, but it takes away from the individuality. It takes away from the, like, it's always centred on lots of different characters rather than one central storyline, which I don't know if that can be
I think that's his style. It's not really like there isn't really one main character in a way. There's just like there's just a lot of stories going on, and they happen to coincide, like,
yeah, and they work really well together. They mesh really well. There's one thing when I watched Sherlock Holmes over the weekend that I don't know if he does that as well. I think when he's got those like different storylines coming together,
he didn't really go to his usual format. I think it was almost kind of like a superhero movie or something in a way.
And Robert Downey Jr. gets a lot of airtime in it, which, like,
he's a good Sherlock.
He's a great Sherlock. He's a really good Sherlock.
Yeah, he's very good.
But no, where do you want to start today? Do you want to start off with maybe some of his earlier stuff?
I suppose Lock, Stock.
Start off with Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels, yeah.
I watched it last night for the first time.
I watched it even more recently than that.
5 minutes ago?
5 minutes ago. I wanted to watch it, to be honest. I thought I'd watched it, but I think it was...
I didn't know what to expect, to be honest. I didn't watch any trailers or anything going into it. I was thoroughly impressed, though.
You flew in, man.
Yeah.
You flew in there. Balls up. It was good. It was very good.
Yeah, I enjoyed it, man. It was class.
Yeah, I suppose trying to start with maybe story or soundtrack. Soundtrack is killer in this film. It's very good. As it is in Snatch, as it is in
The Gentleman.
The Gentleman as well, yeah. What is the soundtrack? Do you remember any of the standout songs in?
No, because they're all like early 90s tunes.
Yeah.
But
all I know is Lock, Stock, it's got The Boss by, I believe it's James Brown. And that was kind of made famous by Nas. You know the song, Get Down, Get Down. Anyways, I don't think judging by your face, you don't seem to know.
No, none at all. It's got like action-packed cast. Jason Statham, Vinny Jones.
What you make of Jason Statham in these films? Snatch and Lock, Stock.
Is he just the pretty face in him?
He's a handsome guy.
He is, but I know he's very good. He's a good, great actor. He does add to it, like
he brings the humor, the wit to it. Anyway, as does Vinny Jones. I would say he's a great centerpiece for these films. Like
he's like the classic hard man, but
and he sets the tone as well. Like the one thing about these movies that is really great is that you know the tone instantly. Like I said, it is comedy like, but you know it's violent comedy. It's done really well.
Vinny Jones is always like he's kind of like an intellectual in a way.
Yeah,
his characters and
he's kind of got a bit of philosophy about him. There's a bit of a moral
code almost code, that he abides by. But it's also got Lenny McLean, the governor, the great the greatest bare knuckle boxer in British history.
Really?
Yeah, that's what he's known for. He's not an actual actor.
Which one's that?
Barry the Baptist.
No way.
Yeah.
Baptist,
he's like I think he's known as like the hardest man in Britain for years,
really,
stuff like that. Yeah,
which one is he?
Your man there.
Oh, that's cool.
The Hatchet's right hand man.
They got some really like archetype characters going on, you know. They've got some I don't know how we cast in these people, but they seem to hit the spot. Even in Snatch you've got Bricktop, isn't it, the guy with the big glasses, scary ass.
Yeah,
scary ass gangster.
Oh, I have another one. Didn't realise Sting was in it.
Sting is in it, yeah. He's Eddie's dad.
Yeah, that's nuts.
That's really cool.
I didn't recognise him at all until I finished watching it.
Yeah, he's only in for long now, but he's cool little fact. What else can we say about that film?
I think it's just classic Richie with the story, like it's multiple stories going on, but it's the way the characters like they meet each other by chance, and you know, like with the guns, for example, like
the so way the crux is like that and the story. Yeah, and
that's just all Guy Ritchie.
It's smart writing. Fun fact about Guy Ritchie: he dropped out of school when he was 15, so no real formal education.
Oh yeah, I have a better one for you.
Go on.
He married Madonna. He married Madonna, man.
He married Madonna.
For 8 years. Eight strong years, he was in there.
I wonder what went on those 8 years.
Who knows? He got her a lead role in some movie.
Really?
And it completely flopped. So, well, that's all I know about that.
He was many years her junior as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, she's ancient. She's been around a while.
She's been around the block, man. And she's in good shape, to be fair to
him. You know he comes from royalty.
Does he?
He's a descendant of King Edward I.
Where are you pulling these facts from, man?
I'm not going to tell you my source, man. You were bigging up your facts before we started filming.
I've got some cool facts. What's the other one? Oh, yeah. Guy Ritchie has a black belt in jiu-jitsu.
Fucker, you stole my last one.
What else do you have? Go on. While we're on the topic.
I had three good facts and you stole one of them.
Go on.
That was it, man. The black belt one was my...
Okay.
Well, his black belt in karate. I don't think you added that.
Karate as well?
Yeah.
Jiu-jitsu?
No, karate.
As well?
Well, that's my source.
You're full of poo, man. You haven't come with these at all.
That's
Other fun fact about Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels while we're on it, because that was his first big movie anyway. It was made in...
98, was it?
98, yeah. Yeah. A long time ago. But Dexter Fletcher, who plays Soap in the movie, he is the director of Eddie the Eagle and Rocketman, if you believe it. So that's pretty cool fact. He's a small guy who would have been in the crew with Statham and Eddie and the other dude, crew.
He was the chef.
The chef, yeah. So he directed that. He's a big time director now.
Yeah.
I really liked Rocketman, actually.
I haven't seen it. I don't like musicals, man.
It's a good. I actually don't like musicals either. I respect that, but I actually think that is quite a good one.
Well, if you consider School of Rock a musical, I do like that movie.
Well, then you absolutely love musicals. So no. I love musicals. That's not a musical, man. That's a film about
music.
Yeah. If there is such a thing, like.
Yeah, there is.
Well, Rockman
is.
I didn't like Bohemian
Rhapsody. Oh, that was class.
Oh, it actually hurt to watch, to be honest with you. Why? Like, at least Rocketman kind of bared its soul, it kind of told the tough, the gritty Elton's stuff
story,
about,
I guess. But
what, jeez, fucking Bohemian Rhapsody was, oh.
Well, I suppose the soundtrack does save that movie a lot.
Well, yeah, but, all that.
Like, Rami Malek was class in it.
Probably, yeah. I'm not a fan of him. I'm not a fan of
what
him
is
at
it?
All. Not all it is about him, man. He just irritates.
It's his eyes.
It's, yeah, it's his teeth in that film as well. It's like the eyes and the teeth. They're staring at my soul, you know. Ooh, yeah. Popping and popping.
Big jawline and cut you.
But, jeez, you like him, do you?
Oh, big time, man. Didn't like him in Spectre, though.
He's not, I think he's overrated. Could that be said? I think that could be said.
Okay. I'm
thinking deeply about this one.
Thought it. Back to the Lock Stock.
Yeah.
We should talk about the fucking the Ganja Boys.
The Ganja Boys, yeah.
I think the story almost boys. Centers around that.
Yeah, it does. And it's a nice little twist that your man Rory, what's his name, the Afro guy, he's controlling the Ganja.
Yeah, I didn't see that coming at all.
That was nice, actually.
That's what I love about these films. Like,
yeah, there's nice little twists. And you know that they're not going to have it easy at the end. You know, like, they're rolling through the Statesman and the boys are rolling through it. And they've got a big load of cash, big load of ganja.
Yeah.
But you know something's going to go wrong.
But, like, that's Guy Ritchie films. Like, there's this one centerpiece. I suppose, like, this thing almost, like, say, the ganja in this movie. Or, like, the diamond in the snatch that everyone's trying to get at, go after.
Yeah.
And there's all these different storylines.
Yeah.
And they're all, you can tell that they're all going to meet at the end of the movie. Just like
but do you think there is a bit of a challenge with that, in the sense that you kind of know what you're going to get with this guy, like when you're going to the cinema, you know what a Guy Ritchie film entails. Like, he does not a whole lot of variety. He knows what he does well, and he kind of just
but you don't know, like, story wise. He always keeps you in the dark until the very end. You know,
it's
going to
be a different story.
What I mean, like, you know there's going to be a twist at the end, and
I don't know. I really, really enjoy these films, but there is an essence of that. Like, but anyways, we'll move on. I think we kind of covered Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels. The card scene, the card game scene, is very cool. I really like that. It's really sets the tone for the rest of the film. And also, lastly, Fool's Gold at the end of it. It's really cool. Little touch. Fool's Gold by Stone Roses. So if you haven't seen that film, go and watch it.
I recommend
100%.
It
100%. Moving on to maybe his best film,
Snatch. Yeah,
you think so?
I think it's his I do think it's between that and The Gentleman, because I think Lock, Stock and Barrels, it was a bit early in his career, it was a bit raw.
Yeah, it is a bit raw, that film. Yeah,
but The Snatch. Yeah. Probably his best story.
Yeah, really good story, really good. All the performances are really on point as well. You got Benicio Del Toro, he's in it for like 5 minutes, but he's good, you know. And I like the little cut scenes where it cuts away to like the gambling, him gambling. And also it's really the fact that it's Brad Pitt in it as well, acting as a traveller, it's almost like a fever dream, you know.
Yeah,
like, did that actually happen in that film? That's what I like.
Brad Pitt being a fucking traveller is nuts.
Yeah, like, he really works hard to bring it all together at the end, but it really pays off.
His accent.
Do you like dags?
Dags. I don't know about
dogs. I don't know about it either, but he kind of pulls it off, though. You can't. It's not very accurate, but you kind of just get lost.
Just because it's Brad Pitt, man.
It's Brad Pitt.
But
what do you think? Is that the best Brad Pitt? The best looking Brad Pitt? Best version of Pitt?
I don't know what you're getting here, man, but
is that the most handsome he's been? What are you saying, Troy? It's a great debate for the ages.
I suppose he's always looking well in training, moving well in training.
He's moving well in training, man. He's always moving well in training. I don't know. I would argue it probably isn't Fight Club. He's very hot in that.
Yeah, I guess it's pretty. But
you don't want to divulge, like, you don't really get into this debate, no. This man has been known to traverse Nova.
Could you say,
by the way, Byron Kenny?
Oh,
loves Nova.
We're cutting that out. That's lies.
Go on.
Vinnie Jones basically plays the same character again.
Yeah, he does.
Bulletproof Bullet Tooth Tony. I love it.
But I think he's I like his character more, and it's like he really like takes the film by the balls.
Yeah, especially that's pub, the scene at the end of the pub. Mm,
that's cool scene.
He pulls out the deagle.
I really like that. I really like that scene.
Replica written on the side of your gun.
What do you think of the narration? What do you think of narration in terms of these type of films?
I think it's needed.
Yeah.
100%, because the story is a bit all over the place.
Mm.
But I think it's because he's trying to fit like a lot of info into like a short space of time. He really has to, it's almost like he's to catch you up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
On what's going on. But it just sets the tone with like every character.
Mm.
You know about their background, why they got this nickname that he gives them.
Mm.
And you just know what to expect from them.
Yeah, it's cool. It's like, it's kind of a, it's, what's the word? It's a cornerstone of like crime thrillers as well. It really sets the tone, like when the movie's kind of getting, you've been through a quick bit of the movie and then you're kind of catching up.
Yeah,
and
it's
you're
like
getting set for the next act.
It's like the classic heist films.
Yeah,
like they have to, like in Ocean's 11 or something, they just have to like.
And there's montages, like there's montage where they're getting their stuff ready, they're getting ready for the heist, and you know the voiceover comes through. I think it is key in these films, and it. As you say, it sets the tone, it sets the rhythm of the film as well.
Stephen Graham,
yeah.
He's class.
He's really been there. He's really been there through the whole kind of journey of British cinema, you know?
He's one of my favourites.
He's class. He is really talented. Do you watch, what's it called, Burnt? Was it Burnt?
Boiling Point?
Boiling Point, that's the one. Burnt is
serious
the one Bradley
movie.
Cooper. Yeah.
All in one take, well...
It
was like,
probably isn't.
No, it's, I think it's like 20 minute shots or something.
Wow. Yeah.
Which is still nuts. Like, they had to choreograph every little thing.
It's
and
really
had to get
impressive.
It right.
Really impressive.
It's like in 1917.
Yeah.
It was filmed like
yeah,
it was
I,
one
yeah.
shot, but it was.
You
again,
actually.
Like 10 minute takes.
You recommended that film to me, and it's excellent.
But Boiling Point.
Boiling Point, yeah.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it, it's on Netflix, but Stephen Graham, it's kind of. I'm so glad he got starring roles, you know. He's still not like the upper echelons of Hollywood or anything by any means, but he's getting there.
Could you say like he's a very accomplished journeyman in a way?
Yeah,
Hollywood.
Absolutely. He
But it's like it's kind of like an insult to call him a journeyman in a way.
But he was for a long time. Like he's kinda all ring up.
I just don't
Graham.
Think he's just one of those characters, like just a lot of lads in Hollywood who just aren't main characters.
Yeah. But he adds flavour to every role that he's
yeah.
in. I don't know, I would see more of him. I'd pay to watch him in those leading roles. There's also another actor in Robert Downey Jr. just talking about him. I think he's getting better with age. Just on the
yeah, maybe it's because he's getting away from the whole Iron Man.
Yeah, but I really like in Oppenheimer I really enjoyed him. We'll do an episode on Christopher Nolan.
But he can act like
an actor. Whoa, he's got screen presence.
100%.
Very good screen presence. But anyways, getting back to Snatch, it's an intricate story as well. You know what we said about it all coming together at the end, but there's lots of different. There's lots going on there, you know, which makes it the payoff at the end so good, you know.
But it's just, I think, like especially with Guy Ritchie films, it's just like this. Classic, just British humour, this Cockney slang.
It's great humour.
It is.
It's really funny. Like.
They're really like, I suppose like all the characters in like we'll say Lockstock, The Gentleman, and Snatch, they're very I suppose they do act like gentlemen in a way. Like they're all very
all got a moral code. Yeah.
All moral codes. I suppose maybe that's
it's unrealistic.
That's a gangster thing, maybe.
It's a gangster, but it's very.
That's what everyone thinks. That's why he portrays it. But it's just like it's very British in a way. They're all trying to be drinking their tea and.
It's bringing colour to a very
dark world.
Dark, yeah. Crime underbelly. Like it's bringing a bit of colour to it. Bringing a bit of humour to it. Why not? You know, that's what people are fascinated with. Crime. They're fascinated with the films about. And if you're going to bring a bit of wit to it, you know, it's just going to add extra flavour. And, you know, he hits that tone excellently in all his movies.
Mm.
In all of them, like, you know. And then on top of that, he's got real standout scenes. If I had to put you on the spot now, standout scene from Snatch.
Probably the boxing fight.
Yeah.
Maybe the first one.
That's what I'm saying. I prefer the first one when he knocks out
and then it hits the big lad.
When it hits you with Golden Brown by the Stranglers.
Yeah, it's
and
brilliant.
And then the narration comes over. It's like the best of Paerucci.
What's his name? Like he's like, oh, Stephen Graham character. Oh, he knows he's fucked.
Yeah,
you know, like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and he's crying. It's really like harrowing scene. Like if that wasn't Guy Ritchie, you'd be saying,
you feel for him.
Yeah,
like,
it's scary.
Oh, he's actually fucked now.
Yeah.
He's in the lion's den.
Yeah, he's got that fear factor as well.
What other scenes there was there in the snatch?
That's what I would say, that these films are really good. Like you almost you're blown away. Like you're kind of whipped through.
It's
the
almost
story,
it's all kind of memorable. It's one. It's almost like one scene, I guess. You're just
There's no real standout scenes, I would say. As like, that's kind of harsh to say, but you think of like set pieces, building up to set pieces.
Maybe the I suppose I already said like, but Vinnie Jones when he pulled out the deagle, and then the shootout, then Boris the Russian.
Yeah, but I would say like about these films, which maybe could make them a bit better, is maybe like monologues, like people really getting into their philosophy, like, you know. Like is in Tarantino films. I know we don't want to labour the point about Tarantino, but like his characters are able to, they're given time to kind of
that's because
you know.
Guy Ritchie's films are fast paced. Like Tarantino likes his characters to sit in a room and really like develop and just like chat it out, you know what I mean? But Guy Ritchie, like, he gets his characters, they just get straight to the point. I suppose because they're gangsters, they don't have time to be mucking around. Like,
yeah, it's definitely a point of a stylistic point of difference. I try and think there's some similarities between a lot of crime thrillers. I can't really think now on the spot, but even like moving away from Snatch for a moment, I think Sherlock Holmes, like the main character, he's almost like Captain Jack Sparrow in Pirates of the Caribbean or something, you know. He's a really like charismatic character, you know. I like that. I think could do more with that, you know. I don't know, but his films are kind of more tightly centered on Motley Crue's and
I wouldn't really put him for Sherlock originally, but
you wouldn't have, that wouldn't have been your choice, no.
Like if I just watched that movie, I wouldn't have been able to tell it was a Guy Ritchie.
Really?
Maybe apart from some scenes, like
the fight scenes are really good.
Yeah.
They're
very Guy Ritchie-esque.
Yeah, I like the way he kind of slows down time before.
Yeah, slow motion. He loves a bit of that.
But the what annoyed me in watching a film over the weekend was he does it. It's in the first like 10-15 minutes he busts out two of these fight scenes, and then
and he makes you wait
for the rest of the film.
Yeah,
but there's an inconsistency there, and the film does 100% lag. I would say it's definitely the weakest out of these four.
He's,
anyway,
he's setting you up for like some crazy, you're expecting more fight scenes.
Yeah, you are, and you're I think at the film it kind of it loses its rhythm definitely halfway through. I'm not sure about Jude Law's Dr. Watson either. Jude Law's,
I don't really like him.
I just don't think he's a great actor. I don't know, I don't think he's adds a whole lot to it at all.
I prefer from the series Watson, what's his name again,
Martin Freeman.
He's a brilliant Watson.
That brings me to the next question. It's best modern day, very modern day adaptations of Sherlock Holmes. Not as in like movies that like remakes of Sherlock Holmes, but maybe like, you know, Sherlock has been brought into the modern day by Benedict Cumberbatch. And
there was a lot before our time.
Yeah, there was a young Sherlock Holmes. Actually, ironically, there's a film Young Sherlock Holmes, and he was acting in Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels. I just noticed that today. I think it was him anyway. It would have been on Film 4 back in the day. We used to watch it a bit, but there was a few films now back in the day that I don't think we've watched. I haven't watched.
No
them
way.
There's
Holmes and Watson.
Holmes and Watson, yeah. So I suppose we're talking about three films, but like, what I suppose I'd compare Sherlock, the TV show, because those episodes were long, like they were an hour and a half each.
I used to watch that with the family. I thought it was class.
I personally thought they were excellent.
Very, very good.
Really well thought out. Good characters.
Great villains in them as well, though. Great, like in each episode, there seemed to be some sort of like.
Yeah, they had Andrew Scott as Moriarty.
And do you remember?
Brilliant.
Do you remember? Did you ever watch the episode where it was this lad kept going around the town and he was poisoning people? And before he killed him, he'd make him choose which pill. It was like a game.
Yeah.
He gave them an option of two pills, and whichever one they took, he would eat the other one.
Okay. Yeah,
and he said one of them was poisoned.
Yeah.
And he'd done it like 5 times over town, and he won all 5 times, and then he finally met Sherlock. Then.
Yeah.
And then just like this game for like intellectual chess, I guess.
Yeah.
Between the two of them, I forget how it ended though. I suppose Sherlock always runs through, doesn't he?
But they're really well thought out, and the science of deduction and everything, the way he's like able to break down someone, and that is cool, like, and that's what people, I think, really attracts people to the character of Sherlock.
And he's like disregard for authority as well.
Yeah. And the fact that he's like that intelligent, but he chooses to be a detective. I can see why people constantly come back to Sherlock as a character. I think Arthur Conan Doyle was the author of the original books, but I think it's one that people will constantly, like directors, filmmakers, producers, will constantly come back to kind of remake. Even Will Ferrell has played his hand at it.
Dipped his toes in.
As much as people hate that film, I think it's kind of funny. Like,
I haven't seen it.
Like, you know what to expect from it, you know?
Well, yeah, I'd expect a few laughs now if it's Will Ferrell.
Yeah. I mean, it's not Adam Sandler doing it. Like, you know, you've got some level of intellectual property with Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly, but it's...
Oh, I love them two boys.
I think...
Amazing
duo. Just put them on the screen, you know. They're going to have a bit
just
of crack.
Throw them on anywhere.
Yeah. So it wasn't the worst ever. But yeah, I suppose compared to... Would you say Sherlock, the TV series, is better than the Guy Ritchie film?
Oh, I suppose it's hard to compare a series to film, like.
Yeah, but you think about this series, like, and if you haven't watched it, go and watch it.
I think it's a better portrayal of Sherlock Holmes.
100%, I would say so. Even though I really liked Robert Downey Jr. as Sherlock.
Yeah, but the show just develops him a lot better.
I suppose the show is going to do that, so it is kind of unfair to. But there are slight comparisons, because even.
But the setting, like, and what's the nanny called? Not the nanny, the landlord, is it?
Yeah, Miss Hudson.
Miss Hudson,
yeah.
I think she's better in that. I suppose they're different time periods as well, though.
Yeah. So it is kind of hard to compare. But I really, I'll say it again, like, Robert Downey Jr., he's got the what's the word? He's very charismatic on screen. He's very magnetic on screen as well, you know. I think he's going to get better with age. I think he's going to continue to be. Like, I think as much as Iron Man was, you know, it's a kind of a career-defining role. It's something you can kind of...
It's hard to escape, though.
Hard to escape.
And I think he's done it pretty well.
I hope so. I hope he just keeps going from strength to strength.
Well, I'm sure he will. I'm sure he'll try and probably distance himself from it now.
I would hope so. Jeez, I think anyone...
Not that he'd want to, though. It's not that he's going to, like, disregard that part of his career.
No,
it's what
but I
made
think
him,
you
like,
need to kind of move away from Marvel now. I think Marvel is a sinking ship, to be honest. Jeez, I never really had much time for it, but what it's dishing out at the moment is dreadful stuff.
Yeah.
What else can you say about Sherlock Holmes? I think it was a decent attempt at an adaptation.
Yeah. Was it great? No.
No, it wasn't great. And it's definitely... Maybe not a definite step down from the rest of them.
It's a popcorn movie.
Popcorn movie, yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. It's not that, you're not going to be analysing it too much.
No.
There's a bit more, there's a bit more depth to the rest of the Guy Ritchie films.
Talking about Guy Ritchie films.
Go on.
The Gentleman.
Yeah. Move on to The Gentleman. Great film. Really, I think it's kind of him maturing as a filmmaker. It's got a bit more style, it's got a bit more panache to it, I think.
100%, I suppose that's part of his career that can really attract the big names.
Yeah.
McConaughey,
yeah.
Colin Farrell, Hugh Grant, you know.
McConaughey, are you American, man?
McConaughey,
man. Matthew McConaughey. Good lad. I like Matthew McConaughey. McConaughey. Would you not say McConaughey, no?
McConaughey, man.
A
that's clear, how it's
pronounced. A good clear man like yourself. Yeah, but like, are you going to say Gallagher, like...
It's Gallagher.
Say, yeah, it's Gallagher.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So just because they pronounce it...
I apologise.
chill the beans.
I apologize. I didn't know Giancarlo Esposito was in it. Esposito.
Oh, he is, yeah. It is Esposito. Esposito, man.
What character was he in it?
He was... Jeez, you're pushing me there. I haven't seen this film in a while. He was one of their drug lords, I think. Was he? I think he was a shadowy character in it.
He was lurking around the place.
He was lurking. I don't think he was on the main ones now. You've got the main ones in there. You've got Matthew McConaughey. You've got Bugsy Malone is in it. And
yeah.
Colin Farrell. Ernie. Colin Farrell is really cool in that film, actually.
Yeah.
He's like a side piece, but he's cool. That scene in The Takeaway where he's fighting all the young bucks. That's
yeah,
cool.
Yeah,
like.
Pretty cool. Squirts the vinegar in your man's face.
Yeah. He's like, and he's one of those characters that got moral code, you know. He's not...
Yeah, because he went to Raymond.
Mm.
He went to visit him in the bar and he's like, I had to apologise for his boys, what
yeah,
they did,
yeah, yeah.
And that he's going to take responsibility for it.
Yeah.
But then your man Raymond had the moral code as well, to, you know, you respected him for coming, but like, they're just going to right the wrong.
Yeah. Charlie Hunnam is good enough. I heard a thing about him that Charlie Hunnam is the blonde guy with the glasses. He's,
yeah, I know.
Oh, sorry.
I know.
I didn't get a nod of recognition or anything from you there. But he was good. Apparently he lost his... He did Sons of Anarchy, the TV show. I never seen it now, but he lost his... I think he's originally from England.
He lost his accent.
He lost his accent when he went over to America.
I kind of thought that because I thought his accent was...
It's a bit gammy.
The first time I watched it, I was kind of like, the first time I was introduced to him, man, I thought it was a bit unauthentic.
Yeah, it is a bit unauthentic.
And I thought he was actually a Yank.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. I think he did actually lose it when he went over there. Apparently when he came back, his accent was so bad. Like, they couldn't even cast him in a few roles.
Yeah, what is... He was in King Arthur.
King Arthur.
His accent
yeah.
was tragic in that.
Was it, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I watched that film alright. Fun fact on The Gentleman.
Ooh.
While I have you. Hugh Grant. We all know Hugh Grant. He shot his scenes in 5 days and he had to learn 40 pages of dialogue.
Boomed it out.
Apparently he had like cheat sheets.
Oh, he definitely did.
Yeah.
I suppose he was like, he had the script for the movie and he was... He was probably just reading that on set.
Probably, yeah. I mean, but he actually really adds to that film. He's really good. He's funny, like, and
he was so fruity towards Raven.
Yeah.
I love that. It's brilliant.
But he kind of keeps it going. He's kind of a good thread throughout the film that...
They keep going back to it.
Yeah. Tells the story very well. I like the bit of American... The bit of American and, you know...
Is that the first time he's kind of introduced, like, anyone American, really, into his...
I think so, yeah. I mean, he's...
Oh, no, well, I suppose I'm wrong there, because in the Snatch...
Snatch, yeah.
He went overseas for that as well.
But there's no... It's not a... Yeah. But I guess it was your main character being an American is different, you know?
Yeah, first time he'd done that in one of his gangster
films. I think it was a make or break moment for him because, you know, he's going big scale.
That was a
there.
Big production. It was.
It's a big production. It's glossy. It's and I think it worked out well.
It's the right story.
Yeah.
Do you think he kind of based it a bit off Lock, Stock and the Snatch? Or is that just his formula in a way?
I think he's got a form in him.
He's probably been writing movies like that for years, to be honest.
I think so, yeah. I must say I really enjoyed it. And it's... I think it'll age well as well.
It does have a lot of standout scenes, like...
Mm. Proceeds to not say any of the standout
scenes. That's straight. You know, geez, I don't even think... Like, you're in the lion's den, you know, when he
kills your man.
Yeah.
But he doesn't actually kill him then.
Mindful.
That's cool, man. Yeah, that's cool.
But I'm drawing a blank on the film now.
I just like when he's talking with Hugh Grant, Charlie Hunnam and Hugh Grant are talking it out. And it really tethers the film well together, you know. And you've got the scene where they kind of attacked him in the underground lair with all the... They got all the weed down there, they're growing the weed. And that underground weed lair they have is really cool as well.
Yeah, he's got some production going on.
Oh, there's big production going on there. Like, it's not grimy little back rooms. Like,
no.
Snatch,
that's
Lock,
class A.
Yeah.
Job.
Have you seen Rock'n'Roller?
No, I haven't.
Rock'n'Roller is actually excellent as well. But again, it's formulaic. It's like Snatch and it's like Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels. But well worth a watch. Some memorable performances. No, it's definitely the one I've kind of... I haven't watched it in a long time now, but it's well worth the watch. Maybe we'll do it as a movie of the week.
Cool scene where they went to the apartment blocks to get the rich lad's daughter back. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
There are a lot of, there's a lot going on, definitely. It's good on now.
Yeah.
Good on to watch with the lads, that's what I think. Good crack.
It's got the classic Guy Ritchie humour, great action scenes.
Yeah.
And a superb story. That's all you really want.
Definitely, yeah. Smart writing. In fairness now, yeah, I think every time you kind of strap in for one of those films, it's...
You're in for a ride.
It's a good watch. Where are you, what are you ranking now if we're going to talk about those four films?
Oh, okay, I'm going to put four Sherlock.
Yeah. This isn't a ranking episode now, by the way.
Yeah, okay, I'm just going to throw them out. The four, if I were to rank them, I would go four Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
Three, I hate to say it, Lock, Stock.
Okay.
Two, The Gentleman, and one, Snatch. I really like, after watching Lock, Stock, it's a bit, it's raw, like, because I just watched it last night, but
I can't put it above. Yeah,
it's just because, I suppose, it was just already doors, it was just too raw.
I only get gels as well as Snatch does. I don't think the payoff is as good.
I think maybe if he had a bit more money for a bit of production and stuff like that.
I think so.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, like some of the scenes are, they're literally just talking it out in a room, like, you know, there's no, like there's really good movement through the, like there's car chases and Snatch, and there's, you know, a bit of hustle and bustle.
It's a bit more production value, and you never know.
Yeah, I would agree. I'm gonna put Rock and Roll into the mix. I haven't watched now in a while, but from what I remember, it's probably better than Lock, Stock as well. So I'd put Sherlock 5. It's harsh now. Sherlock is not a bad adaptation by any stretch of the imagination. I'll put that at 5. I'll put Lock, Stock, 2 Smoking Barrels.
Really?
4.
Is Rock and Roll that good?
Yeah, Rock and Roll is very good. I think we'll do it as a movie of the week soon.
Okay.
And then we're going to put... we've got...
Gentleman and Snatch,
I think. I think Snatch is the best one. That's tough, though. That top two is...
It is really tough.
It's a heavyweight one. I think we need to mention The Covenant, which he made in 2023. We may do that as a film of the week, may not.
I don't know. I watched the first half an hour and I fell asleep.
It's just a war film.
It's a war film. It looks like there's a good story, but I thought the action scenes were a bit shit, to be honest.
Really?
And that's all I was in for, to be honest. Because I saw Jake Gyllenhaal, Guy Ritchie. I was there.
Yeah. He's done a few...
I might give it a second chance.
Maybe. We'll see. We might do it as a movie of the week. But I think we definitely will do Rock and Roll further down the line, because it is actually really good, really good. Now, it's not got the production value of Gentleman, but it's well worth the watch. I think that kind of concludes our Guy Ritchie episode, guys.
The man, the myth.
Really, how would you round him off, Byron? In a few words.
Unique, British,
fast
gangster
paced.
I guess
gangster, fast paced,
yeah.
Guy Ritchie, guys, there he is. That kind of rounds that off.
Vinnie Jones.
Gotta
throw that in there.
Okay, so movie of the week time.
The Green Book,
yeah. Oscar winner, best picture.
It didn't win any best actress or actresses, did it?
I think it did. Mahershala Ali won.
I think, yeah.
I'm gonna preface this, my argument, my rhetoric, and I'm going to preface it by saying that it did win Best Picture Award, and because of that I am very, very harsh on this film. It's a really nice movie. It's a nice film. It's really it's a really comfortable movie. It's too comfortable to deal with that kind of an issue. Like, if you're going to go really hard hitting, like 12 Years a Slave, one.
Yeah, but there's two sides, like...
Okay.
To it.
I agree there's two sides to it. But I just think that this film... I'm not sure.
It's heartwarming. It's
heartwarming, but I suppose maybe that's all...
It's a good point that you can't really just gloss over what they're trying to get at.
Yeah. And
the whole racism and...
No, I think... I'll talk about what I like about this film. the central scenes of dialogue between Viggo Mortensen and Mahershala Ali
in the car.
Yeah, by so just a bit on the film. It's about a kind of Italian American down his dumps war veteran who's lost his job, but he's been offered. By a few people.
It was set in the 50s?
50s, yeah. 60, actually.
60s, New York.
That is crazy, like, you know, that this is kind of going on. Yeah. It is so recent.
He's a real, like, Tony Lip, his name is.
Soprano. Classic
Italian American, very family oriented.
Yeah. He's generally a good guy, but he's clearly got prejudices. He's slightly racist, like, the guys. The black guys come over to his house to do some work, and he throws away the
glass after he uses it. Yeah, he is.
But then, anyways, he accepts employment from Mahershala Ali, who is his genius pianist, and his trio. But obviously, this guy Mahershala Ali is
African American.
He's African American, obviously, but he's got his own kind of prejudices. He's kind of affluent. He's well educated. He's not like the rest of the African Americans down, and that's the kind of point of difference, that he's not the
stereotypical. Yeah, I guess.
And he doesn't really understand their experiences, which is what the movie gets at.
Yeah.
But the scenes between them are really well done. They're really well thought out, and two excellent accomplished actors.
But it just builds the relationship in them between the two characters.
Yeah.
Throughout the movie, like, it's.
I would think it's almost as if they've interspersed the film with these moments that are kind of trying to hit you really hard.
Yeah.
They just failed to, for me. Like the movie, or the scene in the bar where he gets bet up by the guys in Kentucky, I think it is. Like, you got to dwell on those. You got to really let that sink in for the viewer, you know? Or the scene where he's in the bathroom with the, he's obviously like a homosexual relations with the guy, and he has to pay Viggo Mortensen to pay off the cops, you know.
Yeah,
like, let that sink in. I don't know, what do you
think? I think they do. I think they do let that sit in, man, because I think they're just it's just building Viggo's character, like the way he would never have stepped up for a black man before this, but then he's actually befriended Muhammad, what's his name again? Mahershala Ali, and like, he was getting fiercely beat up in the bar, and he comes in, pretends he has a gun, and takes him away, looks after him, brings him home.
Yeah, but there's a sense of, like, which I liked about it was that, you know, he has to do a job, like, he's loyal to the job, you know what I mean? But then he kind of does build that genuine affection. Yeah, no, it's a very good film, and I feel bad for being harsh in it, but. And I would say that, like, the stroke of having it leading up to Christmas is actually really nice, like, at the end of it.
Yeah.
And the music, the kicks in and all that.
But do you remember, like, at the end of the movie when the Mahershala Ali wanted his character wanted to eat in the hotel where he was playing, and they wouldn't let him. So then
he goes to the place down the... Well, he kind of kicks up a fuss.
He kicks up a fuss. Viggo kicks up a fuss. And then Mahershala Ali's like... Because it was their last performance. Mm. And Viggo wouldn't have got paid if he didn't play. But they decided, you know what? Screw this. We're better than these guys. We're going to go down to town and get some finger-licking chicken. It looked really good.
He goes to the...
He goes to the African-American bar.
And he plays proper piano. Like, plays because
he couldn't relate to... I felt he couldn't relate to other African Americans. He just didn't see himself as, like, one of them, really.
Yeah.
Because he hasn't had the same experiences in life. And then through music, he could relate when he started jamming.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah.
Started jamming it out at the end with them, and then happy ending. Happily ever after. Then really.
Very happy ending. Very happy ever after. Yeah.
But were they really going to go for this kind of, like, 12 Years a Slave?
Well, no, clearly not. But, like, this film won Academy Award for Best Picture. Like, I think the award has become diluted. I think if they developed this film, then yeah, absolutely. But it's too easy to. It's too palatable. It's too.
Yeah, that topic, like, it shouldn't be as palatable as it was.
And, like, that's some of the reviews I've read or that. It's just
a good point though, you were saying.
It's too easy watching for me. Like you should be grimacing at some of these scenes, like, you know.
But you do feel for him, like, you know, it does make you really angry, like, when you see what happens to him.
It's injustice, but it's not horrific. It's not, it doesn't really kind of grab at your soul.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed the scenes of dialogue between the two main characters.
And the final scene where it brings it all together.
Yeah, it's really nice.
Comes over for Christmas dinner.
It's lovely.
And the family took him in then.
Yeah.
When he came to the door.
Yeah.
Which was a nice touch.
It's done by Peter Farrelly, I think, who is one of the Farrelly brothers, done like Dumb and Dumber and stuff like that, so strange segue for him. But I definitely watch more of those films, but yeah, it's not,
I enjoyed it.
Okay, so talking about rating, what are you saying? I've definitely made you think, like.
No, you haven't. I'm sticking with it, man.
Go on.
8.4.
okay. I'm going to go for a 7.8.
Hater.
I'm not a hater. That's a good rating.
You're a hater.
You know me, man. I have excellent high standards. 7.8. Sticking with it. So we'll do a movie review. Movie of the week review. That'll be on our Instagram page. So if you haven't already, give it a follow. Give it a like. Give us suggestions if you want.
Yeah, we haven't announced that. We have a new social media account, Instagram.
Social media account, yeah. We've got an Instagram, which we're going to be doing, as I said.
Going to keep it up and running, yeah.
Try and introduce some videos as we go along, and probably introduce some other cool kind of features and stuff.
If you do have any suggestions for the podcast or any topics you want us to talk about, just leave a comment, I guess.
Yeah.
For the next week, because we did have a request for Movie of the Week next week.
Blade Runner 2049. So, yeah. To who that was, thank you very much. We'll get around to it this week. We'll let you guys know. But I think that kind of rounds off our director's corner with Guy Ritchie.
Yeah, I guess it does. Next week's topic.
We're doing rankings.
We're going to be
genres. So we're going to come back to genres. We're going to do Irish films this next week.
Can't wait for that.
And then, yeah, the week after, we will do. We might go with Christmas movies the week after, just because it's coming up to that time of year. And then we'll resort back to the usual kind of
road, huh?
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about it. I've kind of sprung that there, but yeah.
We've got ideas.
We're cooking. If you're listening, thank you very much. We really appreciate it. We're enjoying the journey. We hope you are too. Keep listening every week. For now.
Thanks very much.
I've been Colin Muldoon.
Byron Kenny.
Big Kahuna Podcast, over and out.
Good night and God bless.
How long was that?
47.
Alright.
That's good.
I can see your person first.